Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to WCCO 830, the noon to three show. Chad Hartman is your normal and regular, I shouldn't say normal, he's not always normal, but he's your regular host. Today I'm filling in for him. This is Tim Pawlenty, and glad to be doing so. We're coming into our final 45 minutes or less of the show, and so we're glad you're listening in. We're going to shift gears now and turn our attention to, I think, one of the most important topics facing all communities, our state, our nation, and that is the challenges and, frankly, the sad outcomes of so many of our public schools and our schools, even some non-public schools more broadly. And, of course, if you have a democracy in our state constitution, our federal constitution, it basically states that you cannot have a functioning democracy unless you have an informed and educated citizenry. And we have too many of our fellow citizens who are getting poorly educated, who are uneducated, not able to meaningfully participate in terms of the democracy I just described, but importantly for their own opportunity, their own quality of life. If you don't have an education, if you don't have an education that allows you to meaningfully connect to the economy of today and tomorrow, you get marginalized in a big hurry. And then you become potentially a ward of the state with all of the expectations around the state taking care of you. So it's in all of our best interests for the future of our democracy, for the future of our economy, for individuals and their families' ability to earn a living and take care of themselves and pursue their own dreams as they define it, to get as many people as possible, as most highly educated as possible. And of course, the debate all too often, in my view, has centered on, can we just spend some more money on the current structure? Resources are important. A lot of what schools do are expensive. Teachers are incredibly valuable. They're not overpaid. But the fact of the matter is, whether it's this current now 30% increase upcoming in the state's budget or what happened in the past, regularly there's massive increases in school funding and the outcomes don't meaningfully improve. And it's startling. And I won't go through it all because I think we all know this by now. But one statistic that really caught my eye recently was the fact that zero students in certain Minnesota schools, in fact, 19 of them, not one student was proficient in math. Not one. Not like the bottom half, not the bottom quartile. Not one student in 19 schools in the state of Minnesota, one of the best states in the country in terms of education, were proficient in math. Unbelievable. And a certain number of schools the same with reading. And I could go on and on, but I don't want to lose the main point, which is I think unless you're just blinded by the notion that we're going to maintain current structures, we're going to continue to put money into the structures, and we're going to measure our commitment to these things. We're going to measure our commitment to education by just how much money goes in. If you're that kind of person, then I don't think I'm going to make progress with you, or at least have a dialogue. And I want to have a dialogue with you. But if you want to say it's a combination of resources, but accountability for outcomes as well, that we have some expectation around improvement of outcomes, then the discussion never changes. And Minnesota is at a 30-year low in test results in our state. Some of it is COVID, but that was just a temporary thing, or has been a temporary thing that's going to have lasting effects. But let's not get confused about what the core issue is. This hasn't fundamentally changed nationally or in Minnesota in decades. And that's why I wanted to bring on our next guest today. She is Katie Ratliff. She currently serves as the executive director for the Common Sense Institute in Arizona. The Common Sense Institute is a nonpartisan research organization focused on developing sound fiscal policy, promoting economic prosperity, and is guided by the belief that Arizona's continued economic growth must be supported by research that isn't partisan or political. She also worked for former Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, who did a fantastic job, in my view, as the governor of Arizona. She served as his senior policy advisor and director of legislative affairs, was also served as his deputy chief of staff. And she's somebody who has an interest and a passion and a knowledge about education reform broadly, and we welcome her to the show. Welcome, Katie.
Governor, thank you so much. Excited for the conversation today.
Great. Well, really, the main reason I wanted to have you on is we're stuck, at least in, I don't want to say you're stuck in Arizona, but in some states and maybe at the national level, we're kind of just stuck in this battle around, we're going to take the current structures, the current programs, and the current approaches, and just have a debate about whether they should be funded a little more, a medium amount more, or a lot more. And there's very little energy or effort around innovation, around, changes in the system in terms of reform that might improve outcomes. And you've had a lot of experience about this. Tell us how you assessed the challenge in Arizona and some of the ideas that you and Governor Ducey came up with and advanced and enacted in that state.
Well, thank you, Governor. You're absolutely right. I think, you know, in Arizona, Governor Ducey was first elected to office in 2014. And the challenges in the education system at that time were exactly as you've described. It was stagnation, complacency. The state was mired in lawsuits over funding adequacy. And some of our best schools had waiting lists that were thousands of kids long. And, you know, we had choice in Arizona at that time. We had followed Minnesota's lead and established charter schools in the early 90s. We had open enrollment, but there really wasn't an urgency to get kids into the right school for them. And so Governor Ducey's approach was to first unapologetically and aggressively expand what was working. As one of our former superintendents of public instruction and part-time Minnesota resident, Lisa Graham Keegan, used to say to us, Arizona has a deficit attention disorder. We focus too much on what's not working. And what is faster and what gets kids and teachers and families access to a better quality education quicker is to focus on what is working and to aggressively and urgently expand that. And so that was our approach and our focus. We wanted to certainly provide targeted interventions and resources to schools that wanted to improve, but really focus on expanding our best schools and giving families the tools and the resources that they needed to get access to what worked for the state, but also what would work for them and their kids individually.
We're talking to Katie Ratliff, who is the executive director of the Common Sense Institute, a nonpartisan think tank in Arizona, about school reform. She joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Katie, can you break down what you just said a little further now? So let's say I'm a disgruntled or disappointed parent. I'm in Arizona. I don't like I'm unsatisfied with what's happening in terms of my child's education. What could I do in terms of find something that is working that the state of Arizona would encourage or that your policies reflected? Because being stuck in a bad school without, you know, the ability to change it is frustrating for parents.
Absolutely. And, you know, when Governor Ducey took over in 2014, that was certainly the case here. We in Arizona, you would have access to the district school that you were assigned to based on where you lived, your address. But you could also take your child to any school within that district or in any district. We have complete open enrollment here in the state. You could look for a charter school. And then more recently, we've adopted a new policy where you could go get an empowerment scholarship account, an ESA, and you would get your child's portion of what the state would have invested if they were in a public school, and you could use that money and take them to a private school. You could start a micro school, hire a teacher, and bring them in with a small group of kids in your home if you wanted to. You could homeschool them yourself and use those resources to purchase curriculum and anything else that you might need to make that a successful experience for them. And so that was really our approach and what we viewed as the fastest way to change the system. The governor wanted to eliminate wait lists at our highest performing schools. He wanted those schools to expand, to add seats, to add new buildings, or to work with other schools in their area, in their communities, to help them improve, to share curriculum, to share best practices, to share professional development. And so it was through a series of those reforms that we were able to give parents as many choices as possible that they could actually use, because it's great to have options, but if that option has a 1,000 kid waiting list and you're going to have to wait 2 years to actually get your kid in, it doesn't feel great. It's not really a real opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. We're talking to Katie Ratliff. She is the executive director of the Common Sense Institute. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about education reform and specifically the empowerment scholarships that she mentioned just a minute ago about not a one-size-fits-all for everybody, but for some people being able to leave the public school system and find a school that they like better outside of the system that works for them may make some sense. So we'll talk about that and more on WCCO 830 right after this break. Welcome back to the final segment of the Noon to 3 program on WCCO 830. Guest host Tim Pawlenty filling in for Chad Hartman. We're continuing our discussion regarding school reform. We have a special guest on the line. She's Katie Ratliff from Arizona. She's the head of the Common Sense Institute there, and she's also worked for former Governor Ducey in that state. I think Governor Ducey had one of the all-time great quotes about education reform, specifically school choice, when he said not long ago, quote, 50-plus years ago, politicians stood in the schoolhouse door and wouldn't let minorities in. Today, union-backed politicians stand in the schoolhouse door and won't let minorities out. That is an unbelievable quote and comment from former Arizona Governor Ducey. And that brings me to my next question for our guest who served with Governor Ducey but is also involved now in another capacity in education reform. You mentioned in Arizona the empowerment scholarships that people could take advantage of, and if they were unsatisfied with their public schools, have another option for their child or for the educational opportunities in front of their child. Can you say more about that, Katie? And has it worked? Is it making a difference? Is it too early to tell? What do you know about it?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that quote that you shared is so important, because what ultimately got the empowerment scholarship expansion, because we had empowerment scholarship accounts in Arizona for many years, but they were only available to a very limited population of students, mostly students with disabilities. So when the governor sought to expand them so that all kids could have access to them, what really got the proposal over the finish line was he had a coalition of Black pastors and the leader of something in Arizona called the Black Mothers Forum come to him and say, you know, it's great what you're doing. We love that you're expanding access to high-performing charter schools and district schools, but we're not seeing those schools and that change in our communities fast enough. And there's urgency to get our kids access to great education, and we want access to empowerment scholarship accounts. And so that helped galvanize a coalition that could get this across the finish line. It was passed last year, signed into law by the governor, and went into effect in the fall. And so far, in terms of its success, we've had close to 50,000 families sign up for the program and express interest in utilizing it. So I think we're seeing early success in terms of interest and growth. And only time will tell if we can sustain that growth. We will need to add additional schools here, additional seats to sustain that level of interest. But I think the program's been extraordinarily successful thus far.
Gotcha. Well, it's time for the Lindis construction time check, which means it's time to get a complimentary heat analysis to see where your home is using and losing energy. And the time now is 2:53. Katie, we're going to run out of time, but I want to get another question just from a devil's advocate. I know there's this controversial issue because we've got a public school, you know, basically monopoly, and there's a lot of politics involved and union politics involved and all of this. And some people might say, well, if you allow children to leave the public school system, You're going to leave behind the most challenged students. You're going to drain resources away from the public schools, and they're going to be worse off than better off. That's one of the arguments against the choice, that type of choice you're describing that some people use. What's your response to that?
Well, the reality is no resources will leave a school unless kids leave the school. And so in Arizona, what we've seen is schools adapting to this consumer-driven environment, because the reality is that the most important catalyst for achievement gains are the schools themselves. The power of parents to be able to choose a school doesn't change anything unless we have great school leaders who can offer high quality options. And so the interesting thing about empowerment scholarship accounts is it's great for educators too. If an educator is stuck in a school where they feel like they can't teach the way they know is best for kids, they can go start their own school. They can start a micro school with a handful of neighborhood kids. They can launch a private school. They've always been able to start a charter school. So it all relies on, as you stated earlier, which I thought was so smart, innovation in the education system. And that's what this program seeks to drive.
Awesome. Well, we're going to let you go, but Katie, thank you for joining us. She's the executive director of the Common Sense Institute. Quickly, if people want to know more about your institute or how to learn more about what you do, where should they go?
They can check us out at thecommonsenseinstituteaz.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being our guest, and appreciate your public service and you're willing to be an innovator in the public space.
Thank you, Governor. Thanks for the conversation today.
All right. That's Katie Ratliff, Common Sense Institute Executive Director, explaining some of the reforms that took place in education in Arizona under former Governor Doug Ducey there. Before we wrap up the show today, and which we're going to do in just a second, I wanted to say the spirit of all of that, you know, school choice may or may not be the right answer for everybody, but we have to try some new things. And what we're doing now currently just isn't working well enough for too many children. You can pick your number, whether it's 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, but some very large percentage of the young people in our country, in Minnesota, are not being properly educated or are basically uneducated, which leaves them unable to access the economy of today and tomorrow. And it pushes them into places that are very, very difficult for them and for society more broadly. Thank you for listening to us today on the Chet Hartman Show. Chad's going to be back tomorrow, noon to 3. Hope you'll listen in. This is former Governor Pawlenty wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks for listening on WCCO 830.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.